Have you ever tried to listen to a piece of classical music without distractions? I mean, really listen and not think about what you have to pick up the grocery store later or what's coming up on your calendar at work. That's what Maestro George Mariner Mall does as the director of the Discovery Orchestra. He hosts a series called Fall in Love with Music, which is airing through June 25th on Sundays here on Arizona PBS. With his orchestra, he breaks down a piece of classical music bit by bit until an audience really listens to it and understands what he calls the language of music. I caught up with him recently and he walked me through what he might do with an audience during one of his shows.
So we're going to listen to a little clip of music. It's from the Bach Brandenburg Concerto No. 4, the third movement.
Okay, let's take a listen. And what are you listening to when you listen to that?
Well, typically, what I'm listening to, of course, is a lot of detail. And what I want to do is to try to get the audience to notice that. So in one of our concerts or in one of our television shows, I would ask the audience, after listening to a little bit of music, if they thought that there was a main idea in there, a main melody. Might ask some of them if they could sing it. And maybe we can listen to a little bit more of it, and I'll give you an idea of what we might do to them then. So I would then turn to the audience and say, okay, how many times did this melody, bum, beam, da-da-dum, da-da-dum, bum, beam, bum, beam, bum, beam, bum, bum, how many times did it happen? And, of course, you get different answers because some people didn't notice all the times. I might even up the ante and say, in addition to telling me how many times it happened, can you tell me which instruments played it in what order?
I certainly couldn't tell you after having listened to that twice.
So what this provides the opportunity is we keep getting to play these same short excerpts over and over for the audience, asking them to notice more and more detail about it until most of the people in the audience have done so. And that's really the prime goal of everything we do. The first step is to get them to have this aha, am I actually paying complete attention? And once they have made a decision, because you actually have to do that, you have to decide, I'm going to not text my friends in Ohio. I'm not going to be reading the program notes which say that Bach had a little dachshund named Fritzy and he was so cute. No, you can't get into that stuff. You have to be focused only on the music. In this particular excerpt that we just played, in fact, there were five entrances of the main melody, and the instruments were the violas, then a group of violins, the second violins, then the first violins played the main melody, then the cellos and basses played it together, and then finally
the flute, right?
Well, yes, almost. they were recorders.
So I got one out of five there, maybe. But that's this takes a lot of concentration. And I'm interested in talking more about this idea of background music. Like a lot of music is just sort of on in the background. It's in commercials. It's in TV. It's on in the car. It's maybe while we're at the gym, in the grocery store. How do you think that music affects us?
Right. The truth is, because of the sort of omnipresence of background music, I call it sonic wallpaper, it accompanies every activity in the industrialized world. And it's really trained generations of people to not listen, but to just hear music as a background. It's not a bad thing. There's nothing immoral about it. It just, the problem is that a composer like Bach or Brahms or Beethoven had the colossal gall to think that we would give their music, and much of it has no text, no words. It's not a song. It's abstract music, just sounds, but they wanted us to give it our absolute attention from the moment it started until the movement concludes. And so we're talking about giving our attention to 5 or maybe 10 minutes of wordless music. Now, if you asked someone under the age of 30, if they thought that might be a cool idea, they'd look at you and say, well, how could it be any good if it doesn't have any words? You know, it's like there is no genre of music that's not song for many people on the planet.
Totally. Yeah. So it sounds like what you're saying is even though this music doesn't have words, it's still telling a story.
Well, it's has very powerful emotional meaning crammed into it. There are unbelievable feelings, states that have been expressed through these abstract sounds. But the only way to get that meaning is to listen to it from the moment it starts to the end of the movement, because it's like talking. Every thought in the music is logically connected to the previous thoughts. Now, if you went to a play, you would never consider tuning out for like 5 minutes of dialogue in a play and hope to understand what was happening later in the act. But many people will go to a concert and they'll sit there and they hear the opening of the symphony or whatever. And then, you know, then they either start reading the program or they notice that really attractive person that's three rows away and they get sort of fixated on them for a while. Or just, as I said, some people start texting while they're at concerts. And the problem is that valuable, important musical information is going on in those blank spaces, you know, and all of it fits together to make a very powerful emotional statement.
I could admit to this. Like, I've been to the symphony here in Phoenix, and I will be listening to the symphony, and I can only follow it, I feel like, for so long before I sort of drift off. Is that because I don't know how to listen to it?
Well, it is partially that. I mean, I think most people don't know how to listen, which is why the Discovery Orchestra has as its mission to teach the listening skills that help people really connect with classical music. But the thing is that once you start teaching people how to notice detail in music, it feels so good that they want to repeat it and they begin doing it on their own. I mean, if you think about it, we did not learn how to talk by our parents teaching us grammar. We just listened very carefully to what they said, especially when words like food were part of the sentence. We wanted to learn that word, you know. It's the same with music. If you begin to give music your undivided attention, even if you don't know the technical name for something that happened at that moment, you still begin to notice it over and over again when you find it in other pieces of music. So we develop a vocabulary, even if the phenomena don't have names.
Right. It's like the language of music there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So my dad goes to the orchestra a lot, and he likes to listen to it, but I don't think he necessarily speaks the language of music, like you've said. But what he'll say is he'll sit there, and he likes to just feel the music, to like let it wash over him and feel the emotion of whatever he's listening to. Do you think by looking at it in this super analytical way, you kind of lose that?
Some of my students have said that, but 99% of them, including people who have been going to concerts for years, say that, you're right, George, the more you perceive, the more we perceive, the more pleasure we receive from listening.
All right. Maestro George Mariner Mall is the artistic director of the Discovery Orchestra. He hosts a series called Fall in Love with Music, which has started airing on our local PBS affiliate here in Phoenix. George, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Lauren, thank you so much for having me as a guest.
And this is the show.